What is this 70s delightful goodness here?
Let me guess. Ambrosia?
I'm guessing Ambrosia.
Little River Band?
All right.
Oh, God,
could
no.
be that.
Please don't let it be. No, it could be worse. It could be and is the Graham Edge Band. Now, Graham Edge, of course, was the drummer for Moody Blues.
Okay. Yeah. A little sleepy. I've heard a few of their records.
Good morning. What's this music playing?
not a fan.
Now, this is kind of a very stale record. Nothing really exciting. Very mid. Yeah, it's all right. I bought it because Adrian and Paul Gervitz are on it.
Okay. Three-man army. Good.
Basically, three-man army. So you got Adrian Gervitz on guitar, Paul on bass, and Graham Edge on drums, and you got this guy, Mick Gallagher, playing the keyboards. So this came out in 1975 on Threshold Records. This song is, what is it?
Moody Blues' label, by the way.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is more or less a solo record then by the drummer of the Moody Blues.
And it's also, it says recorded at Threshold Studios, so they must have their own place. They probably bought their own studio. So.
All in-house. Interesting.
That's nice. Good for them.
What's better, this album or the Peter Criss solo albums?
Oh, dude, whoa.
It's a tie.
Well, the one is a really good comedy album.
Well, it's
so,
true.
Yeah. You know, I'd say this one is not.
It's just kind of lays there, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like Pagliacci the clown.
Pagliacci,
whatever.
Pagliacci.
I think he was a Dutch explorer or something.
he discovered the Netherlands.
And like the comedian Magellan. What's his name? Henry David Thoreau, you know, the anthropologist. So yeah.
Well, I mean, Three Man Army's worth checking out. That's the Gervitz Brothers thing that was 73 or something, right?
As is Baker Gervitz Army with Ginger Baker and the Gervitz Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
So Ginger Baker didn't work out.
Oh,
needless to say.
Because he's a bastard?
Because he's a bloody bastard.
I'll put you in the hospital.
He did. He broke that fucker's nose in that video.
Yeah.
So then after they got rid of Baker, then they joined Graham Edge's band, who was a drummer.
Okay.
But he had a bigger name. So, all right, well, we'll just use
and
your
name. And a label.
Yeah. And a studio.
Yeah. I don't know. It's okay.
It is what it is.
It's all 70s sounding.
I like the Three Man Army stuff. Of the Gervitz guys stuff, I like the Three Man Army. I think that's the strongest rock stuff they do. But yeah, so anyway, there's that. From Kick Off Your Muddy Boots, the Graham Edge Band. On our little thing. God, can we get rid of this?
Shall we get cracking?
Yeah, it's crack.
Tonight, what do you say we have a rock and roll party?
Come on, boy!
Abbey Road Records show.
Heavy metal, rock and roll is always going to be with us. Day after day, year after year, it's never going to die.
Who likes rock and roll? Yeah!
Abbey Road Records show.
Put down the boxing gloves and try and just get it together.
All right, well, hey, Labba!
Hey, Labba!
The Shabby Road Record Show is on the air, your hipster-free vinyl podcast. I'm your host, Ryan McKay, and I'm joined by the guy your mama rode Space Mountain with in the 1980s. It's A.D. Adams.
That's right. That's my nickname is Space Mountain. Ryan, we're back for more of this crap, so strap in, pin back your earlugs, pour yourselves a cold one, and let Ryan, me, and the rest of the Shabsters entertain you for the next couple of hours. And remember, the only thing we have to fear is the god-awful stench in the air.
Well done, AD.
So let's do this.
We thank you guys very much for joining us here on episode 112 of the Shabby Road Record Show. Can you believe it?
That's,
so many.
CX.
Okay.
II for you Romans out there.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you all.
People,
all two of them.
Full Roman gear.
Yes.
Looking like Caesar with the little wreath around their head.
Yes, indeed. And also doing all the great things that you do, sharing stuff on Twitter and on our Facebook page and visiting our website, shabbyroadrecordshow.com, and buying us a round of beers just like Cindy Adams did this week.
Yes, bravo.
Cindy.
Yes, she did.
She's been kind of dipping her little thing into the well here, buying us rounds.
Boy, were you dancing around that?
I didn't know what the...
Sister Cindy.
Yeah.
She is going toe-to-toe with Gary. We're going down to the wire here.
That's what I was trying to say.
We're recording this episode now here, and we're into December. And we're running out of time for that Enabler Award that's going to be season 3 of the Shabby Road Record Show. And it's coming down to Gary versus Cindy.
Oh, I love them both.
I know. Well, they should both win.
One's my sister and one's a damn good friend.
That's right. So, she got us an 18-pack here by going to our website.
Thanks.
And you can click on a PayPal link that allows you to fill the fridge here at Shabby Road Record Show. And we wet our whistles during the next 90 minutes or so of cracking open records and spinning yarns and spinning yarns and spinning tracks from every record. And
buckling some swashes, too.
Hey, if you want to get some swashes personalized, you got to go to nameonanything.com, AD.
You could put your name all over your swash if you want to.
That's indeed.
Or your schvance if you want to.
Schvance.
Don't personalize anything, by God.
That's right. Our good friends over there at nameonanything.com, great people over there. If you got to get anything personalized or maybe you've got a team of something and you want to get your jerseys all printed up and looking all sharp, that's where you go to nameonanything.com and use the promo code Shabby or mention Shabby Road when you check out, and you'll save 10%.
10%?
A whole 10%, AD.
That's like a lot of percents.
That is
that's X percent.
That's a grip of percents.
For the Romans.
Indeed.
Diaz percent. Hey, did I show you my new personalized AD Adams codpiece?
Oh, does it shoot flames?
It sure does. Take a look.
Oh, that's...
nameonanything.com.
Okay.
Your God can't save you, Ryan.
Where's your God now, Ryan?
Pray to my codpiece, Ryan.
All right. Is that the end of the name on anything?
Hallelujah.
Thing?
Yes. Nameonanything.com.
They curse us every week, don't they?
Oh, they love us.
Just like
why?
Ricky Serrano curses us every week for bringing him down here. What's up, brother?
How's it going?
The producer extraordinaire. We couldn't do the show without him.
We have a few times.
We'd have to do it sober.
But don't tell him that. Yeah.
Sober.
Oh, he's right over there.
Sober.
And he's
sober. What's that guy do?
He's brought with him the cantankerous old sod known as Hal 5000.
It's sure quiet around here. You could hear a caterpillar sneaking across a moss bed in tennis shoes.
It is. I mean, compared to last week's episode where it was a full house and I gave up my seat, I think, at one point.
Yeah.
It's just the three of us.
Very intimate. How we go back to our beginnings.
The
our
triumvirate.
Humble beginnings. Yes.
Yes.
Larry and Curly, if you will. Or Curly and Curly.
Well, as we mentioned, we got the three records apiece, a man, and we're getting ready to crack them open here. AD, why don't you tell us about your mystery box this week? What is in that? What kind of records have you got for us tonight?
I have got some stuff that's going to blow your fucking taters, dude.
Really?
Seriously, yes. It's really, really cool. I love my mystery box tonight.
Yeah?
I got a selection that is a post-punk / pre-grunge / metal delight from Texas, from Dallas, Texas.
What?
From a band I had never heard of.
Uh-huh.
Ever heard of? I told you about it. Spent my rent money at the record room down here, and so I went in there.
Yeah, on the live show. We should mention that live show thing.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, we will. Let me. You know what? Let's do that now before I get
since you brought
into
it
this.
Up. Yeah.
Well, Tailgate Live, we do it every. It's our live version of this show. It's a condensed version. It's only 45 minutes. Starts sharply at 9 o'clock
Arizona
time, which is 11 o'clock in the East Coast right now and 8 o'clock in the West Coast of the United States, on Australia, England, wherever time zone, look it up accordingly. But 9 o'clock Phoenix time, 9 p.m. And we go on live and we do news, rock and roll news. We have This Day in Rock and Roll History. We have a game show called Overboard. We allow you, the listeners, to interact live and chat with us while the show's going on,
that's
which is really
part.
Cool. Yeah. So you guys are actually the star of the show and Tailgate Live. And to get to it, you just go to the Shabby Road Records Show website and simply click on the banner and it'll take you right to Spreaker link. And it's called Tailgate Live. And give it a listen. It's fun. It's different than this show. The format is different.
Yep. On Monday nights. Yeah. Check it out. And you can also listen to all of the previous ones to check it out. They're all on that same link. So go to the website, shabbyroadrecordshow.com. Find that banner. Tailgate Live and click on it and look for those episodes and check them out. You can listen to them 24/7, really.
Yeah.
But we love it when you're live so we can chat with you.
Yeah, man. Sometimes the room gets pretty funny. So
well,
the listeners,
my brother Eric gets in the
room. Well, yeah. then it gets emptied out immediately.
Yes,
who
exactly.
is this guy? So anyway, yeah, let's back to my mystery box. That first is interesting. So I looked at the album cover. I'm like, I want this. I've never heard of it. I'm like, I got to have this record.
You're good at that.
I'm damn good at that.
And you got brave. You're brave with that. I'm a little too scared about that stuff. I hate to drop that kind of dough and not be satisfied.
Well, speaking of a band that I've never heard of, my second selection is also a band, and I bought it in the same hall just yesterday. So this is a Delta Blues / Celtic folk infused pop band Ireland.
What the?
Circa 1970. And again, I looked
what
at the album
fuck?
Cover. I looked at the album cover and I'm like, I asked the guy at the record room. I'm like, hey, what do you know about these guys?
And it's not Horse Lips.
It's not. And it's fucking.
Or Thin Lizzy.
You know, I like that kind of stuff. I like that Horse Lips kind. I love Celtic.
Yeah, me too.
I love that Celtic folk.
You're a Scotch Irish guy.
Hey, clown. but yeah, and the guy didn't know anything about it. He's like, you know, and he's like, well, so he cut me a break on it. And I'm like, I'm going to try it. I was just attracted to the album cover. Just there was something about it that was very compelling. And then I have my little thing that I do. I read. I'll get more into it when I play the selections, but I'll tell you, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, my third pick the night is classic Shab, but with a twist. It's something old, it's something new, and everything in between. And it's nostalgic, and it's new. And this will be the newest release ever played on our show. It was released Friday. It was released on Black Friday.
No way.
Yes, it was.
Really?
And I'm so giddy.
We're recording this on November 28th. All right, so this was just released.
This was released November 25th, 2016. We're going to take a time warp. We're going to time warp from 1970 all the way to now, just 3 days ago.
Oh, this is a Record Store Day exclusive.
When this
so it's what do you call it?
Soon to be collector's item.
All right.
And
so an archival release is what the
yes. Absolute gem. It is one of my new favorite records I've ever owned.
Wow. I am very
–
wow. You did spend a lot of money. All right. Well, my mystery box is along those same lines, AD.
I like it.
It's all new records, all new bands, new things. And we got to travel all over the place to find all the cool ones. We got to go to Sweden for one.
Sweden,
yeah.
Malmo.
Yes, indeed. And that band is just a killer band. And I picked the song because the dude is so freaking Ace Frehley on guitar.
Ah.
I was like, oh, okay, this is the one. And the record is fantastic. Love it. Sweden, new band, new record, 2016, just like yours, but not quite as new.
Yeah.
And
mine's still pooping itself. It's a baby.
Then we're going to our backyard here in Arizona.
What? You can't do that.
Yeah, this band.
Nobody here is famous.
This guy recorded this album, and I got it on vinyl.
Paul Hurwitz?
He recorded this album on a 4-track cassette recorder, and it sounds amazing.
Wow.
And we've heard of this band before. It's just killer. Just killer. And one of our listeners picked it up, and it reminded me of, oh, yeah, that is a cool record, so I brought it back.
Nice. Okay.
And finally, and my last record is a little bit Southern Gothic, actually. And I'm going to say this, AD, and you probably won't wind up agreeing with me, but to me, in my world, being – I'm a Midwestern boy. I got my Southern roots kind of,
right,
you know.
Yep.
I grew up with some people that talk like that. And – I'm going to say this is the rightful heir to Luminaria by Ian Moore.
Ooh.
This is a stunning record. A guy that writes lyrics that are so, so great. Maybe, you know, I love my Ian Hunter, but
sure,
this guy's lyrics are just like powerful. And we're going to get into this record and get into the backstory of it. And it's something that I want you to borrow and listen to.
Well,
and
right.
See if you like it.
I'm in.
So all of that is coming up.
And
so,
more.
And more.
Or probably less. Literally. Don't get your expectations
let's,
up.
Let's waste no more time and let's get going.
Let's do this.
Who's got the playing cards? Ricky.
I do.
Man.
Who else?
Here we go. I look around the room like there's any.
Yeah.
I'm used to having 10 people in here.
Claude Rains.
Some people are going, okay, it's a little less chaotic in the room. All right.
Go ahead and pick, Ryan.
I haven't picked in a while. I always go sinister left hand, but I'm going to go right hand tonight.
Ooh, red.
I've done you.
Yeah, you've done me. Wrong. You've done me good.
Well, brother. Go.
Let's get this thing cranking, man. Here we go, man. Off to the races. Listen, this is the album. This is one of the first album that I bought, sight unseen. Never heard of the band. Never seen them. I'm like, what the fuck is this? So something about the album cover. I'm looking at it. It looks punk. And then I looked at the year it was released. It was 1989, and I immediately
Put it back.
I know, but now you know I've got criteria. I'm not just going to put it back. So I saw that right away, and I'm like, oh, fuck. It was Island Records. So they're usually – they'll take a chance.
We always mention the record label, don't we?
Yeah.
And those important things can make a difference. They could sway you. I mean, a 10% sway.
Listen, if this was on Atlantic Records – 1989.
You throw it away.
I would not have bought it.
That's Jason Flom and it's hair metal.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. I would not have bought it. Mm-hmm. Island Records, I'm like, okay, fuck. And I kept looking at the record. I flipped it over. And then I looked at the, the vibe was great. It was just the vibe was right. I'm like, okay, this record feels good, you know? It was still in cellophane. And and then I looked at the song titles.
It's still in cellophane.
Because you know why? Nobody bought it. It was That's sealed. Right. Track one side.
Was it sealed?
It was sealed, yes.
$3.
$3. Side one, track one is called Iron Cock.
Okay.
Track two is called
How. I might have bailed on that.
Track two is How Delicious She Looks. There's another song on here called A Little Murder. And a song, another one called Song for Louise Post. Now, Louise Post is half the duo of Veruca Salt, who I happen to have a huge crush on.
Oh, this is right up your alley.
So I'm like, all right. And as soon as I saw Song for Louise Post, I'm going, boom. So I just bought the Buck Pets. Are about to get your balls rocked, you fuckers. Dude, take a look at that.
All right. It's a cool looking record, though.
They look cool, right? And they kind of, the back of it, you flip it over, and they kind of did a take on The Clash, a London Calling kind of vibe, you know?
Which is a take on Elvis Presley.
Right, exactly. So it's that kind of vibe, you know? But when you flip it on, and I went, okay, well, that's a reference to The Clash right there. So and all these little things are adding up to me, and I'm like, $3, you know what, dude? I'll fucking buy this record.
Yeah, so, this looks really cool for
Island
$3.
Records, yeah, dude, it's a great record. It's their first album, The Buck Pets, B-U-C-K, Pets, like your dog. It was...
scratched it. No, I'm just kidding.
You
need to take care of your records.
It was produced by Ron St. Germain. So that was another plus. I'm like, okay, Ron St. Germain.
I don't know that name.
Bad Brains. He did Sonic Youth. He did U2, Soundgarden. He did Hendrix, Diana Ross, Ashford and Simpson. But the thing is, this guy, he worked with Led Zeppelin. Yeah. Tool, U2. I mean, this guy's been around. But it's a really diverse list of clients. And again, I think that has something to do with Island Records and things like that. He's done a lot of records with Island and stuff like that. But, you know, he's one of these guys that when he produces it, you know it's going to be a good, solid record. You know, some producers are spotty and they have less control or more control. Others have an absolute distinct sound. Like you hear a Ted Templeman-produced record. You go, okay, that's Ted Templeman. The fucking ride cymbal's too loud, you know. Or you know, great examples of that are who have a producer who has a sound, so to speak, would be, you know, Bob Ezrin. Or a Phil Spector.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
when
yeah.
you hear these things, you immediately go – gotten who produced that. So, you know, Ron St. Germain isn't as illustrated. He doesn't sign everything as much so, but he's a good, solid producer. Mm-hmm. Gets good drum sounds. I love his drum sounds. That's the one thing.
Okay.
Kind of ratty guitar on his rock stuff, hence the Sonic Youth, Bad Brains stuff, the Tool stuff, you know, Soundgarden. So you kind of can hear the guitars. I'm like, fuck, you know what, dude? I'll do this. So who the fuck... are the Buck Pets, you guys? Should I ask me?
Who are the Buck Pets?
Funny you should ask.
Is it
Ryan?
Two words, Buck Pets?
Buck Pets, yes, it's two words.
Two words, Buck Pets.
There's not a lot of information on these guys, man. But here's what I got. The Buck Pets were formed around 1985, 86 in the Dallas-Fort Worth area in Texas. So that's a little... It was not
exactly the Mecca
right
of punk rock.
Unless you're ZZ Top. but they're from Houston, so whatever. Most would consider them pre-grunge, you know, 89, post-punk, but it's a hard rock. It's hard rock, like not your MTV homogenized shit. I mean, like hard fucking rock. And but they reflect that punk edge that, you know, they foray into what turned into grunge, but it's got that metal edge. So you could call it hard rock. You could call it metal. You could call it punk. You could call it garage. And you wouldn't be wrong on any level. And every song has got a really cool thing. They're not – it's got the big guitars.
Is it Guns N' Roses-like?
Yeah, okay. Well, that's fair. That's a yes and no. Yes in its attitude. Yes in its vibe. But even Guns N' Roses, like most hard rock albums, even though that one stood well above all the rest in that time, they would have the typical, you know, intro, riff, verse, chorus, riff, verse, chorus, bridge, solo, you know, formatted. Mm-hmm. These guys don't have a format. It's like they took the songwriting rule book and went, fuck it. But there's something cool. Like, so they would do, like, you know how, like when you're hearing an old Sabbath album? Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
One of the first, especially, like, Volume 4 or Masters of Reality, and they're dunka 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 dunk 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 chong chong. And they just turn on a dime and just do a completely random riff, and you go, whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
These fuckers do that. And they'll throw in a drum break or a doom-ba-doom-doom-ba-doom-doom, a cool bass little pass and things, and totally disregard that kind of formatting for songs, which I think is great. I think it makes it better because it's not – you can't all of a sudden predict second time around, okay, well, here comes that chorus again. You can't do that with this record. And it made it fun. It made me listen to it two or three times. But, you know, it's also influenced but not limited by sort of the college punk thing. But these guys had definitely a much more accessible sound. You know, again, not homogenized. I think that because the MTV, the hair thing was so prevalent that these guys couldn't get a break.
There was no way they're going to break through.
No, there just wasn't. So this is their first album. And their second one, the one that followed this one, came out both on Island. And like all great stories of how a band got fucked, Buck Pets is no different. You know, we've heard it all before. It goes like this, you guys. And of course, here's same old
you
story.
You set your
right?
watch
yeah.
by it.
Mood music, please. So Island was actually beginning.
How?
Island was really supporting this first record. They were getting behind it, and they actually had a hit on their second record. This didn't do well, but Island was pushing it, and they were really starting to put money behind, you know, them touring, and started really focusing on this band. Problem is, by the second after their first record, it didn't chart, but Island was still behind them. Right as they were about to release their second album, so it was already finished. They had plans in the works. The budgets were there. Everything was great. They released the record. It hit number 25 on the Billboard charts in the modern rock chart on Billboard.
Respectable.
And as soon as that happened, who was it?
The A&R guy.
Polly Graham bought Island Records.
Yes.
That, right? I was just saying, how predictable.
Yeah.
Right? Known for the, you
know.
Polly Graham bought Island.
The multinational corporate. Label Polygram.
And as soon as they did, they got rid of every bingo, Ryan. They got rid of all the A&R guys, brought in their own guys. You know, the deal is when your A&R guy gets, you know, shit canned, you're going with them usually, unless you're a big moneymaker.
Of course.
Because you're just you're, at that point in time, you're a liability.
They look at the bottom line.
Yep. Yeah. And then they get all new people. And so, now here's the deal. Now, most of the bands on Island were relieved of their record deals. Buck Pets, however, were not.
They stayed on Polygram.
They stayed on, right?
For a third record?
Yeah. So what they did, well, they stayed on for two records. The second record came out, but the funds got cut. So they didn't tour on it. Polygram basically said, you're done. They sat on the second record, even though it went out and it hit number 25.
They still didn't push it.
They sat on it. They just were like, no, we're not into what you're doing.
We've done the numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
And we don't feel it's worth pushing.
And the thing is, they even had opening spots on Neil Young's Ragged Glory tour
That's a huge tour.
Dude, and in 80 fucking 91, I think.
Yeah.
Jane's Addiction were huge.
Oh my God, really? Right?
And Polygram pulled the fucking plug on him.
Oh,
what
they
just like, yeah, man.
Mistake that is.
So they just jump ship. They're like, fuck, what are we gonna do? You know? So they just bailed.
They leave Polygram.
Yeah. So in 93 they released a third album on Restless, an indie label. And the thing is, indie labels were kind of getting popular in early 90s too. So it's not really a bad thing. You think about that time, they're going, fuck this major label shit.
Yeah.
You know? So but anyway, it came out to little or even less fanfare than their first two records. It was called To the Quick. Which I have not heard. Now, here's the deal with this. I'm buying all three of their records. They're a freaking great band. They're a really good fucking band. Here's my take. Here's my take on the Buck Pets. I fucking love this record. I love this band. Mm-hmm. Buy this record. It's totally kick-ass. It's hard. It's heavy. It's like I said, it's got the punk edge. It's got the big guitars, drum, just crushing drum tones. It's not cookie cutter arrangements. That's my little synopsis, the Cliff Notes version. I will definitely be putting their second and third records. The third record, I think I just said the title, but I lost it here. To the Quick. And their second record, which is called, it's a weird name. It's Mercurotones, like Mercurotones, Mercurotones, Mercurotones.
Mercurotones.
But anyway, I'm definitely putting the second and third records on my got to have list, but they are incredibly rare, absolutely rare. They say you can maybe find them online, but I think next time I'm down in the Dallas, Texas, Fort Worth area, we're going to have to do some crate digging because I need me some more Buck Pets. So here's Andy Thompson on lead vocals and guitar, Chris Savage on lead guitar and vocals, Tony Alba on drums, Ian Beach on bass. Oh, by the way, that cover, look how dreamy they look, Ryan. Ricky, aren't they dreamy? They're dreamy?
Dreamy. Well, the one guy's got a unibrow going. But.
Yeah. Well, this is the Buck Pets, the band that Mademoiselle Magazine voted best looking in their 1990 album cover awards feature.
Oh, hey.
Right?
There's a feather in your cap.
Right. So that's kind of cool. I found out some cool information. But there's not much on these guys, man. So anyway, Ryan, let's put that sucker on. I'm going to play the song Perfect. Side two, track two. We'll be right back.
That's cool. I like that.
Right? That's the Buck Pets, man.
Too lucky bad. Fun. Sad story.
Yeah. I mean, really out of there. Listen, if you think about it, it's like, well, that's not the greatest I ever heard. Listen, that's the greatest shit you would have heard in 89. You know? It might not be the best rock ever, but it's the best fucking rock in 89. Right?
Oh, come on, AD. Skid Row came out.
Oh, Jesus, right? Oh, my God. Who else was Tom Petty? Don't back down. I think it was 89 and the Loving in Elevator.
Janie's got a gun.
Oh, geez. That was the end of Aerosmith, you know?
It was all about Atlantic.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, man. So
they had all the money.
But, man, Buck Pets. That was the Buck Pets self-titled album. Perfect. If you can, the song's called Perfect. It's written by Chris Savage and Tony Alba. But, man, if you can find this record or any of their three albums, pick them up and send them to me. These guys are great, man. I love these guys. And I love discovering new shit.
All right, AD.
Right on.
Let's go to Sweden.
Sweden.
It's time to go to Sweden. Hey. Hal is confused. That's geography.
That's a Swedish vowel, geography. I think. that's a number 8 in Swedish.
Hey.
Well, this one has some interesting history, and this is the one I mentioned about Ace, the ending guitar solo was so Ace Frehley. This was sent to us by one of our favorite pals, Steven Seaborg.
Yes.
And it has finally arrived. This is a band. This hit just came out in 2016 on Psych Out Records. This is the band Imperial State Electric. And the album is called All Through the Night.
Yeah.
And this is a cool band. There's some history with this guy.
A Bugs Bunny logo here.
The cover is very interesting. It's in black and white. But if you recall Bugs Bunny cartoons, when it first starts, the Merry Melodies stuff, that's what it is, right? And then the lettering, too. It all looks very 1930s. It's like if you take the Merry Melodies. Even and the Psych Out label is done as a Warner Brothers.
Like the shield, the Warner Brothers shield.
Yeah, and I wonder if they didn't put it in black and white just to avoid some sort of copyright, because it's pretty much on the nose.
It's pretty.
It's very interesting, especially for guys from Sweden, right? Because I would think that maybe was more of an American thing, because we all grew up listening to that or watching that stuff. But let's talk about Imperial State Electric. Who are they? What is going on with this group? This whole thing began as a solo project from this guy called Nicky Anderson. And he's been in a bunch of bands. And he might be best known for his work with a band called The Helicopters.
Oh, H-E-L-L-A?
Yes. Have you heard of that?
I have that on CD. They're freaking great.
Yes. He joined that band or formed that band, actually. In the mid or late 90s. And prior to that, he played drums in a heavy metal band called Entombed. And that's where he got his start. And he must have been, God, he was young, because I think he joined that band in like 89 or 90. But anyway, after the breakup of the Helicopters in 2008, Nicky recorded a solo album. But somewhere along the way, he decided it was better to form a band. So he took members from a side project he was doing at the time, which was a cover band. Cover band's name was Cold Ethel.
Uh-oh.
So
Ryan Roxy?
No.
Because Ryan lived in Stockholm for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Ryan, before he got back with Alice on the last tour.
No, if you read the players on there, they're guys, definitely Swedish guys. And that's what we have here. So we have basically Nicky going, I'm making a solo record. I got a solo record deal, but I'm going to call it Imperial State Electric and get my buddies from my sort of bar band or cover band called Cold Ethel. And I bring up that Cold Ethel because it really kind of shines a little light on what his music is, which is
which is
very Shabby Road.
Definitely, yeah, I mean that's a shout out to Alice.
Alice Cooper. Yeah,
my first thing thought was it a tribute act, an Alice Cooper tribute band?
Oh, I'm not sure what their set list was. I didn't find any info on that.
Well, you call yourself Cold Ethel. I'm thinking
Cold Ethel's at least in the set.
Yeah, you better. I mean,
well, Nicky, who is my age, by the way, he discovered Kiss at an early age. I did find that out. And he has this childhood buddy named Kenny who would later be in the Helicopters with him.
He was in South Park as well. Fine actor.
Yes. Exactly. And so this guy, Kenny, had a really cool dad because dad has Ramones and Sex Pistols records.
Did he burn them?
No, he did not burn them. He kept them around for young Nicky and Kenny to check out and listen to when they were kids. And this must have been in the 70s because early 80s, late 70s, early 80s.
If he's your age then, so you timeline that, right?
Yeah. Thanks, Dad.
Right?
Dad didn't have those.
What records did you get from your parents?
Well, Dad's not into music. Mom had Barry Manilow and Kenny Rogers.
Considering that, you did okay, Ryan.
I somehow managed to do it.
You did okay.
So he's in this band, this death metal band called Entombed, and he's a drummer. So he plays like every instrument. He starts out as a drummer, and then once he leaves that, he forms the Helicopters with guys that were Entombed roadies. Which, no, not
okay.
Like in a sarcophagus.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
No, the
so
the
wait,
band.
They carry their roadies in tombs.
Yeah. So these guys that were already kind of hanging out with the band on tour, he's like, he befriends them, and they're musicians, of course, and into music. So it's Kenny and a couple of the roadies, and that's who the Helicopters are. And their first record's all punk rock, right?
Wow.
If you have Helicopter stuff, it's glammy, punky.
Sure.
You know, kind of stuff. So very interesting, you know, that he's just like, screw you, Entombed, which was thrash metal, and does his own thing, you know. And the Helicopters were also very successful. They wound up opening for Kiss on the reunion tour when they did a Scandinavian tour.
Really?
Yeah. So they hit Sweden.
Yeah!
And Paul right. Stanley was like, you.
All right.
And so then their record, which is called Super Shitty to the Max.
That's the name of the record?
Yeah, the first record.
That's my new favorite record.
It's
I've never even heard it.
It's so out of like,
Super Shitty to the Max.
Super Shitty, one word.
My new favorite band.
It's a Grammy Award winning album in Sweden. Best rock album.
Really?
Wins the Grammy.
No shit.
That's how they got the Kiss slot for this tour.
Wow.
In Scandinavia. 2007... the Helicopters finally called it quits. They said they wanted to quit while they were still ahead.
Who does that?
I know. This is what I found interesting.
You're never ahead anyway. Come on.
I found this interesting. This is Kenny talking.
The one.
This is the one that Dad had the Ramones and right. Sex Pistols and Kiss records and stuff. Their last album was a covers album. And I was reading the track listing and I didn't recognize any of the bands on it at all. And it seems like these bands are all very obscure, or perhaps they're newish bands that they're discovering, kind of like what you just brought.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're kind of those kind of bands. And they did a covers album for their contractual obligation album, I presume. And Kenny says that they wanted their fans to discover 11 new bands to dig.
That's kind of cool.
I love that. Yeah. That's cool.
We should do that.
Right now?
Not now.
All right, this podcast
we got a show
is over.
To do, yeah. No, so, we should do that. That'd be cool.
So now think of Nicky's run here. He's got a Grammy record in Sweden. He's got the Kiss tour. Helicopters are a big band over there in Scandinavia. Yeah. So he can kind of write his own ticket, you know, and he can do whatever he wants to do. And so solo album is on the table, but he's, you know, kind of like, I'll make it a band. So somewhere in the first album's creation, it becomes a band, although he plays a lot of the instruments on the first album. And so that becomes this band called Imperial State Electric. And this is like their fourth or fifth album.
I was just going to ask how much they're about.
And interesting to note, along this time frame here, he's in the MC5.
Wait, what?
Wayne Kramer calls him up. And he plays with MC5.
Dude.
Playing guitar.
He gets the
in
coolest.
In 2003 and 4.
Well, that's the same tour that we opened up for the MC5, the Glass Heroes.
Mm-hmm. Right. I pulled that because I knew that you did the same
and
thing.
And it was a dude that they had,
Marshall Crenshaw was in
Marshall Crenshaw was the second guitar player. And then they had two different lead singers, Mark Arm from the dude Mark Arm, I think from Mudhoney, or and the other the lead singer from Evan Dando from Lemonheads, where they kind of swapped off.
I'm thinking this is a European
so,
version.
So yeah, they probably got their the Swedish Marshall Crenshaw to do right.
So Nicky Anderson is the Swedish Marshall Crenshaw.
Yes.
And so also interesting to note from the Helicopters, since we've been talking about them, Dragan is another guitar player in that band. He formed a band called Backyard Babies, which is also a great band. And now he's playing with Michael Monroe. So we've heard those new Michael Monroe records. That's the other guy that he was hooked on. Yeah, that's a good little lineage of things. And of course, if we're talking about Sweden, at some point, Hanoi Rocks has to make an appearance.
And
right?
Those Scandinavians, though, they know they're fucking rock and
they
roll.
They know they're
rock. There's a few bands that really get it
Sweden.
Right over there, man. A few bands,
Killer.
Finland, Sweden, there's some shit they really get right.
So that's the history. Let's talk about the record. Now, the record is great, very hooky, and it's very Cheap Trick, kind of.
Okay.
It seems like that's where they're going with it. And it's interesting because Nicky's writing all the songs except for two, and he puts the two songs that his band members, quote unquote, wrote at the end of side one and the end of side two.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, well, Nicky's band.
All
right.
Wrecking record.
You know, it's all over the place. It is. And I told, this is again from Steven Seaborg, and I wrote him back when I heard the record and I was like, I can't form an opinion on this record yet because it's so diverse in its style. It starts with a rocker, almost Deep Purple-y kind of riff.
Okay.
So we got that. Then we go into the title track, which is
So red.
No, you're in the 80s still. That Atlantic Records. All Through the Night, which is a pop song. I mean, it's your doo-wop chord progression. Mark Bolan would do.
Yeah.
Great song. I'm playing the third track, which is called Remove Your Doubt. It's a rocker. It's you can kind of hear that Cheap Trick thing in it. And of course, the guitar solo that I love his guitar playing. It's like, oh, you're so East, really. But it kind of runs the gamut. It's a very interesting listen. So I'm thanking Steven Seaborg for sending it over to help us discover this band and the Helicopters and kind of, you know, exposing that to us and whoever's listening to the podcast.
Twice a dive. So you sit on a fascinate. Never much of a surprise.
he kept that solo going too. Yeah,
Jesus
nice.
Jesus Christ.
Remove Your Doubt by Imperial State Electric from the record called All Through the Night. That's their new record, 2016 here.
Wow.
And yeah, Ricky, what'd you think?
That was awesome.
Yeah, Ricky's happy over there.
That
he loved
cool.
that record.
It's rock and roll.
It's, yeah. it's very good. Yeah, very good record. Definitely worth checking out. So what you got, AD?
I got eyes, what I got. No, you know what I got, Ryan? I got something from your clan's neck of the woods. I got something.
Hi, a bit of Irish
from up in Ireland, right? And what I bought, this is the second of the two records that I bought completely sight unseen at Record Room the, just yesterday, mm-hmm. spending all my rent money. I found this, I don't know why I found this compelling. I think, first of all, because I love horror movies, gothic horror.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, I love Monty Python. And
all
there
right.
was something about this record that kind of reminded me of both. Monty Python did a skit called The Pallbearers.
Right?
And it's just this. And then, of course, the guy who did the animation did a whole thing. But they did the Pallbearers sketch. And
all right.
It was kind of cool, you know?
It's kind of lost on me. I didn't watch a lot of that stuff. So.
I loved it. I loved it because it was so British. And I was into all things English when I was a kid. Everything British just flipped my bloody switch, it did.
I like the young ones for that same reason.
Yeah, you know, so I grew up with Monty Python and all that stuff and then just loved it immensely. And, of course, you know, nicked all their slang and terms. And I
right.
still, you know, speak like – a lot of people go, where are you from? Because I guess I talk weird. Whatever.
Yeah.
But –
It's the insane asylum.
I brought
– What does this do?
McGinnis Flint.
McGinnis Flint.
I brought. Right?
Look at
Isn't
them.
Isn't that great?
They're standing around a casket.
They, by God, they are. And they don't look too upset.
They're dressed like Jack the Ripper era.
The gothic kind of the pallbearer
yeah,
sketch. Like if anybody knows Monty Python, the pallbearer sketch. They like the tall top hats and the long black coats with tails and black gloves and the cravat type ties and all that hoo ha. McGinnis Flint, I say.
This is
yeah.
interesting.
It's
I
cool,
don't,
right?
I don't know what this
now
does
on the
at
back,
all.
You got
Glenn
like
Johns
a,
produces it.
Ah, Glenn John, there you go.
All
so
right.
that's.
It's on Capitol.
Okay, so
all
not
right.
having seen it, no, I was already drawn to the gothic front and the Monty Python thing. If you flip it over in the back, of course, you got your Glenn Johns, right? But you also have, look at that, you got sort of like Winston Churchill and a
right, yeah, this
and
is totally
family
different.
And this family, a couple kids, looks like a mom.
A grandmother, a
yeah,
mother?
Yeah, in front of sort of a castle, if you will.
A very large castle.
Now, Glenn Johns, if you're not familiar with his work, he did Rolling Stones, The Who, Small Faces, Eric Clapner.
From the Creams?
Errol Clapner.
Errol
Clapner. He did The Clash. He also did Easy Beats. Remember Harry Vanda and George Young?
Yes.
You know,
Friday.
ACDF, Friday on My Mind.
Friday
so,
on My Mind.
So Glenn Johns has a real good reputation. And again.
Cool cover. Really.
Yeah.
This whole pack is a gatefold and it opens up into the.
And it's matte finish. It's a really nice
yeah.
matte finish. So, but it was in great shape. Again, I think it was $4 maybe.
All right.
And, you know, I asked the guy at the counter over there at the record room, what do you know about this? You know, and he, same answer as before with the Buck Pets. He said, oh, I don't know shit about them. And I'm like, well.
Give it a shot.
And $4. I spent $3 on the Buck Pets. I'll spend $4 on this, you know, and take
mm-hmm.
my chances. And you know, it's very, it had that Irish kind of vibe to it, Celtic
right.
thing, which I love. But the pallbearers, between the gothic horror vibe and the Monty Python vibe, I'm like, I'm in. I'm totally in.
Okay.
So I brought it home, and I played it. And these guys are cool as fuck. They're really cool. What a great record. It just – I don't know. It's kind of got this crazy-ass mix of blues, pop, definitely Celtic bent.
Mm-hmm.
But even like a hint of that Delta blues, yeah, kind of really sleazy
Robert
stuff.
Johnson.
Yeah. But it goes folksy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a comp, you know, throw that in a blender, you know, throw that in your bass-o-matic and you know, and taste that. But it works and it really works well. Very eclectic.
Does it get heavy?
No. It doesn't get like heavy. I would say it gets
defiantly,
more.
Defiantly, no.
No, it gets more poppy. And I'm okay with that. I would definitely put them on the level or the style of like Man or you mentioned
You and Your Man.
Yeah, and Horse. That's my and horse one of my films. Yeah. I believe I
you
was
and
wearing,
your man.
Yes, I was wearing Joe Namath.
And
mustache
your first single.
Time. Yes. My first double, technically.
All right. Anyway. And like Horse Lips.
And a bit like Horse, but with much more pop. I think they were writing more for the pop, where Horse Lips and Man were more proggy.
I like how someone may just be listening to us for the first time and going there
Horse
talking
Lips
about
and Man. Horse Lips and Man.
These are two real bands. Actually, if you go crate digging.
Right.
Go crate digging, you'll see horse a Man record or a Horse
you'll
Lips.
You'll see a fuck ton of Horse Lips records. They're everywhere.
There's some weird shit out there,
right?
Everybody.
But I mean, really, but their vocals, their vocals kind of, they can go from like a Celtic thing to a Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young type harmonies, which are real beautiful. These guys sing great, man. You got your sort of upbeat, bluesy Leon Russell style with the piano-y thing, you know, he does. Great melodies, counter rhythms and stuff like that because of their Celtic bent, so that they do interesting things with the percussion and stuff. Definitely a distinct knack for breaching the standard 4/4 time signature protocol. You know, the first track, and I'm still, man, I might want to play that, but it's just really eclectic. I don't know if that's the first thing I want you to hear from these guys.
All right.
But their first, the side one, track one is really, really cool. And the first time I heard it, I'm like, holy shit.
Okay.
You know, and I listened to this record and I promptly flipped it back over and played the whole thing again. I really ended up enjoying it very much. But then they go into some like Little Feet type rhythms. And then they're
really?
Not,
that's kind of like a New Orleans thing. Right.
Right? Then kind of the Delta thing, you know, on a couple of parts. But they're not afraid to go full Emmett Rhodes on your ass either. And that's what's cool. So
wow.
They tie that all together so fucking well. And it's just a really cool, but you might not, you know, listen, I know you guys and you may not like it as much as I do. I think you'll like this song.
It's a side one, track one, you said?
No, that's the weird one. That's the one going to play. I'm probably going to play their poppier one. But you know, they formed this guy, McGinnis Flint, they formed in 1970 in Ireland. And the bassist and guitar player, he swapped on both. For Manfred Mann, this guy Tom McGinnis got together with this former John Mayall drummer, this guy Hugh Flint. So McGinnis and Flint. Then they had a vocalist friend, this Colson. So it was like McGinnis, Flint, and Colson, right?
Okay.
So then they were joined by like a singer. They wanted to kind of make a band thing happening. So they found this singer-songwriter duo that were multi-instrumentalists. They played guitar. They played it all. They were kind of like Roy Woods. They could play everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was this guy, Benny Gallagher and Graham Lyle. So Gallagher and Lyle. Well, they formed a band, but they always kind of, even though they got along, they still always kind of stayed in two separate camps. They never
Could probably gig without being all of them, then just gig sort of separately, I guess.
Yeah, you know, but they made some records, but they're just, you know, that they had they're very cliquish. They weren't divided as friends, you know. I don't think, but sort of musical ideas, like where the McGinnis Flint Colson faction, so to speak, they wanted to focus more on live stuff. And then you know, the Gallagher and Lyle, you know, they wanted to focus. They were studio rats to begin with.
Oh,
matter of fact, they earlier in their career, this came out in 1970, 2 years earlier, Gallagher and Lyle were hired by the actual Beatles themselves and to go into Abbey Road and as staff writers.
Wow.
Yeah. So they were, you know, serious about it. That's when, they just
hired by the Beatles. You mean like the Beatles discovered them and said, hey, why don't you go down to Abbey Road and
apply? Yeah, we'll pay you to write some songs. No, they actually hired them.
For what?
Because Abbey Road, remember, the Beatles started Apple Records. They were starting to sign bands. So they're like, all right, we're going to need songwriters.
Oh, interesting.
Right, yeah. So
okay.
That was kind of cool.
So not for Beatles music.
No,
but
no,
for,
right. Yeah, for Apple.
Yes. Okay. Gotcha.
Not for the Beatles, but the Beatles owned Apple, so they literally signed. The Beatles recruited them and signed them. So this Gallagher and Lyle are, you know, formidable songwriters, and they wrote a bulk of this record. So anyway, blah 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 blah. So then they released their first record, the first record, the single that I'm going to probably play. Right. It's called When I'm Dead and Gone. It hit the UK singles chart at number 2. Went to number 47 on Billboard's pop charts. I've never heard the fucking song. Right? Number 35 on Cashbox pop chart, and number 5 in Ireland, and number 31 in Canada, right? So this record did well. I mean, and again, there's a pop edge to it, but there's some weird shit. And if you can wrap your head around what it is they're doing, where they're from, it's a phenomenal record. And I fucking love it immensely. So I fell in love with it. So having quote-unquote instant success, they started getting pressure immediately from their record label, which was Capitol.
And EMI.
Yep. So they're like, well, you got to write, you got to tour, you got to record, blah, blah, blah. And they immediately, you know, became little pop stars, at least, you know, in Europe.
Well, they sure don't look it.
No, they sure don't. But you know, immediately they were getting basically slave driven, got tired, irritable. So those two factions.
Irritable.
Yeah, a little irritable bowel syndrome. But the factions, those split factions in the band really started to come to light, you know. And that's when the tension started. But they released a follow-up, and it flopped. Peaked at number 5 at UK, but that's it. Never went anywhere else.
Quickly diminished.
Yeah, and then immediately after that, it was done. It was everything. You know, it was over for them. To add another wrench to the machinery, when they were trying to get them to tour, so they booked them on a major tour. They, you know, remember, they put a little bit of money into these guys.
Mm-hmm.
They had to cancel their first tour, and really what ended up to being their only – would have been their only major tour due to a series of untimely illnesses from members of the band. So they three guys banged the same stripper and ended up with the chlamydia.
Aye.
I got the chlamydia. I'm pissing mustard and razor blades over here. So – anyway,
mustard and razor blades.
So by now the band was split into they were done. So Gallagher and Lyle ended up recording, and then it was weird because they split, and then Gallagher and Lyle split, but then the three guys, you know, McGinnis, Flint, and Colson, then they kind of split.
Okay.
And then Lyle got together with McGinnis, and then Gallagher got together with – it was weird, you know, like Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Okay, now we're going to make a Crosby, Nash album.
Okay,
now we're going to make a Nash and Young album. Okay, now we're going to make a Stills and Nash album. Now we're going to make a Crosby, Stills, and Young album.
Yeah.
You know, and like that – so he did all that shit, right? So – but the band – you know, long story short, obviously the band as this group never made it big. But so it's weird. But the songwriting faction, again, the Gallagher and Lyle ended up writing huge hits. As a matter of fact, they are solely responsible for writing Tina Turner's big comeback. What's love got to do?
Really?
Yeah. So there you go. There's that. And a bunch of other fucking hits. So the band never did it. But this whole faction, all the different acts in different combinations wrote songs that did okay, but this band never made it. But I love it. It's a very eclectic. This record is very me. It's very
very right
UK. It really is. It's got enough prog and it got enough Celtic folk because, you know, I love my tall dude. And there's no flutes, not a flute on the motherfucker. Okay?
I noticed, I'm looking at so-and-so, guitar, bass, keyboard, vocal, guitar, bass, keyboard, vocal, percussion, no flute. Okay.
I saw you scanning that, dude.
If I'd have seen that, I'm like, produced by Gil Johns,
Glenn Johns, yeah.
On Capitol, 1970, no flute.
No flute yet, yep, no flute.
Looks
no
Irish.
Flute. You were looking for a flute that I fucking know you were.
Oh, that's the first thing
that
I was
whole
like,
record.
Or a
the
fife.
The minute I said Celtic, yeah, you went.
A flute or a fife.
Yeah, I know that face. I know that face all too well, McKay. Right? That's cool.
I like their voices.
Yeah, When I'm Dead
like
and Gone.
I like the tune. I like the voices. Are there some tuning issues in there? I just noticed.
I don't think they give a fuck. I think, you know, it's kind of like the Celtic. It's very folky.
That's the problem I have with horse lips.
Yeah? How do you tune a bagpipe? I don't know.
True.
I mean, the thing is, though, these guys had, you know, apparently some real cool records. I guess their third record was, and they're great songwriters, obviously.
Yeah.
Their third record was all Bob Dylan songs that had not been even recorded or released by Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan goes, here, play my song.
Here's the bitch I wrote on the train over here.
So anyway, that was McGinnis Flint, you know. And the thing is, here's a band of successful musicians who never made it as a band. I mean, you got Lyle, Flint, Colson, Gallagher, and McGinnis, and you got all these different kinds. So let's recap, shall we?
That sounds like an Irish pub.
Why didn't they make it? What kept the bands out there? Kids, you're starting a band, don't do this. Don't get into two separate factions in your band, okay? Another thing that kept them, another thing I forgot to mention earlier, was that they were plagued by horrible performances. They couldn't.
Well, there was a tuning issue there.
Well, apparently they couldn't play the shit. You can't play it live. You've forgotten the fucking tune.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Well, with all the acoustic instruments, what are you going to do?
Right. So apparently that was a big thing that held them back. Of course, then tour halting illnesses, a clown car of temporary members after when all these factions split up. I mean, right? New guys are constantly coming in and learning the shit, right? Then they put out a song. They finally had a song that was geared to be a hit, but it was banned. It was called Let the People Go. It was banned by the BBC because it had something to do with the Battle of Northern Ireland and the Ulster Crisis and all that shit back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So that was a no-no. They couldn't touch that. So, and then on top of that, all the stupid name changes. It's Colson and Gallagher. Well, now we're Flint and Colson. Now we're Lyle and McGinnis and Gallagher. Well, now we're Lyle and Colson and Gallagher. Like keeping up with John Melonhead or something. Yeah. Right?
Exactly.
Like, are you Melon Cougar? What the fuck? John
Melon
what?
Cougar.
Yeah. Anyway, that's that's McGinnis Flint, and I like him, and I would suggest finding this record and picking it up. It's a cool record.
You said there's one more left at that record store?
Yeah, it was a little more expensive.
I'll check it out, because it intrigued me.
Yeah.
I want to hear the other
parts. You want to borrow it first? Try it before you buy it, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure, thank you. All right, I will borrow it.
Right?
Borrow it. All right. So I'm going to switch up and do my next record as the one I'd planned to play last. And this is the one that I said was the, to me, it's very similar to Luminaria by Ian Moore.
Oh, yeah.
In sort of vibe and lyrical gravity, so to speak. So let me kind of do a little backstory here. I was laying in bed waiting to fall asleep one night on a Saturday night watching Austin City Limits. And I saw this guy. I didn't know who he was. Never heard of him before. And you're familiar with the show Austin City Limits?
Absolutely, yeah.
And I rarely watch it, but it was like one of those nights where we're just like, oh, it's a set. I think it comes on here at like 10 or 11 o'clock at night on PBS.
Yeah.
And I was like,
a show that made Stevie Ray Vaughan famous.
That's right, yeah. There's been a lot of great performances over the years on it. And I remember turning to my wife and saying, I don't know who this guy is, but he writes great lyrics. And that was the one thing that really piqued my interest in what is this? This guy is like, I can see why he's on this show because his lyrics are really something special. And I think the next day I fell asleep and I had to look up who it was. Who was on Austin City Limits this weekend?
Wow, yeah.
And it was this guy whose name is Jason Isbell.
And I've heard that name before.
Okay, yeah, he has a bit of a history. The record is called Southeastern.
That chunky fella.
He's got a baby face though.
Oh.
He's a chunky fella, but he's got a
sorry. Jason.
He's listening in. I've contacted him. Listen, no, just kidding.
He's about to call in the station right now. Jason Isbell.
Yeah, on the line.
Hi, Jason.
Come on.
Hand me that soda pop.
Leave him alone.
Right. Sorry.
Oh, stop it.
All right.
Thank you, me. Hal is even channeling me in my brain. So, this record is fascinating, man, because the stories he tells. Now, this is very Southern Gothic. We're talking about the South. This guy is from Alabama.
Oh, shit. He'll kick my ass. Sorry about that, Jason.
And
fuck, I'll stab a motherfucker.
And this might be a little too country for some folks, but I think it's worth it if you invest your time into reading along with the lyrics or listening along, you know, to what he's saying and the turns of phrases that he uses. You know, I think it's just amazing. And since I saw him,
Drunkard and Cooter Brown. Right?
Yes. Yes. I don't know if he uses that one.
Right.
But it's track four.
Pig biting mad at you, babe.
Pig biting mad at you, babe?
Yeah.
That's side two, track three.
Oh, yes.
So let's do a little backstory on this. We're going to play a song called Flying Over Water. And it's one of my favorite songs. It's kind of more of a rock and roll song on here. So it veers from various almost bluegrass, Southern Gothic kind of stuff.
Right on. It's very cool.
Yeah. And there's a few rock and roll numbers on it. And this is one of the three or four. So his parents were 17 years old when they had little Jason in rural northern Alabama.
You know what? That is old in Alabama.
That's 17. Old.
Yeah.
Why are you waiting so long to get pregnant?
Jesus Christ, you stopped having pimples, for fuck's sake. You're looking bad.
You're an old maid.
Yeah.
You need to be having birthing babies.
Yeah, I'm childbearing hips of yours.
That's just terrible. Jason's on line four. No, just kidding.
See, Canada, see?
we make fun of ourselves.
See, England.
The parents had to work a lot, you know, to support things. They would ultimately wind up getting divorced, and it was kind of a messed up thing. And he
you
actually,
know why? Because the kid and his goddamn music
no.
made us broke.
Well, that's the thing about this. His family is that this is a very musical family. It's rural. Northern Alabama.
Yeah, so it's the middle of nowhere, man.
Yeah, and so music is a big part of this family. The grandparents watched him, and his grandfather taught him how to play mandolin when he was 6 years old because his hands were so small. You know, so he's like, you need to get
and
on
he has
up.
Tiny hands.
It's six. He's six.
Well, it looks weird up against that giant face. Holy shit. Hey, Jason, put your hand on your cheek so we can take a look at you.
This is going to take us a while to get through this, ain't it?
Oh, I'm sorry. Tiny little hands. How do you hold a fork?
He was six.
How the fuck you hold a fork?
Because he was six, A.D. Whew, Lord.
Jesus Christ.
Well, everybody sang in the band, and they all played instruments and stuff.
Tiny little instruments.
And his grandfather, who was a
large man.
Well, he was a preacher, you know, and they did a lot of churchy kind of things in there. And so by the time he's 14, his hands have fully formed. And he formed a garage band. And soon after that, he's playing, you know, the cover country bar circuit, you know. And this is around – he's born in like 79. So this is the 80s and, you know, and he's doing the honky-tonks, probably playing Friends in Low Places.
Yeah.
You know. And later he's making the circuit and he befriends this local legend now in northern Alabama, this local legend named David Hood, who is from Muscle Shoals.
Okay. Now we're getting somewhere. Yeah.
Right. So that's kind of one of the nice things. You know, about where he grew up is he got this really legendary group of studio musicians,
yeah.
Muscle Shoals, that whole group of people in that very cool environment where all these great records were made. And now Hood has a son who has a successful band called Drive-By Truckers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Have you heard of Drive-By Truckers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have regular hands?
They might have had, yes.
Okay.
I believe they had full-sized hands.
Full-sized trucker hands.
Normal hands.
Right, normal hands.
Now, and in 2001, at age 21, Jason gets invited to join the band as the guitarist and also begins to contribute songs as he was a songwriter in his bands and stuff like that prior to it. So he stays in the band and he tours all over and gets a lot of great experience doing that scene. And he stays in the band until 2007 when he finally splits off and he leaves amicably. You know, it's not like a
fuck
I'm out
y'all.
Here.
Fuck y'all very fucking much.
Fuck you and your small hands. So along the way, he managed to pick up a taste for drinking Jack Daniels and doing copious amounts of cocaine.
You know what?
Yes, bravo.
Take those tiny hands and roll me up $100 bill. I have some coke to snort.
Don't you let him cut the coke with them tiny hands.
Jesus Christ, he can't even hold a razor blade.
I only mention that because he's sober now, and a lot of this record is kind of talking about his work towards that. But he tells these great stories in this record. Like, there's a song on here called Super 8 where he's, I don't want to die in a Super 8 motel. And he just goes through this whole night, and every word he says is so funny because we've lived it. Like, he picks up a girl, and then there's some other dude that shows up, and they've been drinking all night, and he's hungover, and he's throwing up, and he's – yeah, it's a – great song. It's hilarious. And it's kind of one of the rockers on the record, too. I don't want to die in a Super 8 motel just because somebody's evening isn't going so well. You know? And how many times have you thought that to yourself?
Oh, like, for God's sake, yeah.
I'm going to die tonight just because that guy's night is not going well. You know, so he records his first solo album upon leaving the Drive-By Truckers in 2007, and he forms a band behind him with some of those Muscle Shoals guys. I guess the Muscle Shoals thing has another generation of people. If you remember that band called Driving and Crying.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
They had a great song, Fly Me Courageous. And that's a cool record, that Driving and Crying record. But one of the guys in that group, I think the guitarist of that group, is like a Muscle Shoals guy. Like, they keep going. And so that he was part of Jason's band, which now is called Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit. So the backing band is the 400 Unit, which is named after his hometown psych ward. If you're in the 400 Unit, that means you've lost your damn mind.
You're in the cuckoo bin. You're in the booby hatch.
Right. So he does a solo record, and then he does two records as Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit. Then in 2013, comes this record. Now, he's lost his Looney Bin 400 Unit at this point, but he's picked up the hottest producer in the world right now, David Cobb.
And his hands are now enormous.
And his hands have ballooned.
They kept growing and growing
three times the size of a normal man.
Jesus Christ, I've been asking for a handful of pills. Holy shit.
Excuse me, there's someone here. Can you get him to hand me some pills?
So, David Cobb is a producer now known for doing Rival Sons.
Right, yeah.
For some reason, the latest record by the band Europe.
What?
2014, was it?
Are they really?
I wrote it down. I was like, what? Oh, 2015, Europe made a record.
Oh, I've tracked it.
It's supposed to be
down.
Really good.
It'll be in the dollar bin soon.
But a lot of, the who's who of Nashville, I mean, they're all seeking this David Cobb guy. So that's who does this record, Southeastern by Jason Isbell. And, so it's, like I said, it's a fantastic record. He's a storyteller. Okay. There's songs in here that when you hear them, he's unfolding the story in a great way with such a great turn of phrase. And for example, I'm not going to play this one because it's too much of a tearjerker, but there's a song called Elephant on this record.
Yeah, buddy.
And
points at crotch.
At his hands.
With tiny hands, yeah.
Yeah. No, this song is about him, the character of the song. It's not him. He doesn't really speak so much.
It's a friend of his.
Yeah.
I'm speaking for a friend.
Yeah.
I'm asking for a friend.
So he's with this girl who is dying of cancer.
Oh, Ichiwo.
And he's taking care of her in her last days. And he talks about, it's from the perspective of she's already gone, and he's sort of retelling the story of their last days and months or whatever together. And the elephant is called Elephant because they were trying to ignore the elephant in the room, which is the fact that she's dying.
Let's not talk about it kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's so well written. It's just like, it's a real like, oh Lord, here comes the vapors.
Oh man.
Then he's got a song about this. It's told from the perspective of a young boy who's in love with this other young girl in his school, but they live in the same block.
That's a Tiny Hand song.
Yes. Yes. But he sees through the window that the father is beating her.
Oh, ouch.
And he's got his gun and he's going to shoot the father. And so that's one of the songs. And then we talked about the Super 8 thing. So there's so many great Southern Gothic stories on this record. And I think that's what's so compelling about it, you know. And he doesn't give everything away, but he keeps everything interesting where you're hanging on his words.
Right on. Yeah, good compelling story.
And I haven't even talked about the music. The music itself is great. He's a great singer, which you'll hear on this track, Flying Over Water. And he's a great guitar player. And there's all kinds of great production from David Cobb on here. It's very Southern, but I think you guys will love it. So let's drop the needle.
Would you call it Southern rock or would you call it country? What do you think?
I'd call it Southern Gothic because it's almost bluegrass.
Okay. Wow.
So it's there, you know.
It's full Alabama.
It's Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is side one, track five, I think it is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, if I'm counting right. And it's Flying Over Water. And I love this song because I have been flying so much in the last week.
From the sky we look so organized and brave. Walls that make up barricades and graves. Daddy's little empire built by hands and built by slaves. From the sky we look so organized and brave. In the heat I saw you rising from the dirt. Drunken tears and tugging at your skirt. If only you could tell me then what part you got hurt. In the heat I saw you rising from the dirt. Take my you like the long way home. But I can't for the life of me say why. Did we leave our love behind? Did we leave our love behind?
Mm. Woo-wee. From 2013 really Southeastern, Jason Isbell. That's a great, great record.
It's a
and
great song. Really good song.
It's the lyrics that get you. And that one's more of a of the hookier side of things on that record. When he gets into his story songs like Elephant and the one about the hotel room, yeah. You know, that's where he really shines. And Ricky and I were just talking about David Cobb and his production and how interesting it is how he's such a great producer that he lets the Jason tell the story. So the production never gets in the way. So this isn't the type of album that you'll listen to and go, wow, that guitar solo is great, or that drum part's great, or it's, you know, a virtuosity in the in any kind of the musicians in there. Everything is sets the table for Jason to come up and tell you the story. And it's such a well-produced record. It's definitely worth checking out.
It's kind of the way the old country was, you know, old Johnny Cash songs or old Waylon Jennings songs. You know, the story was the song. Or I should say the song was the story.
Correct. Yeah.
So they didn't wrap it in a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's – it's just – you know, I know it's a little twangy, but
– I liked it.
Dude,
I really liked it a lot.
It's so well worth it. It's worth investigating. Check it out. What you got?
Well, all right. Listen. Released Friday, this Friday.
This came out
November 25th, 2016, 3 days ago. I tried to unwrap it. It was shrink wrapped. It was completely sealed.
Store to steal it?
No, yeah. Well, of course. And I tried to slit it, and it just didn't. The way the record is, it's a 45.
Oh, nice. Okay. So we have the technology.
Yes, we do. So, and I tried to, you know, slit it open with a razor knife real carefully. And I still got the. See, why don't you take a look at this, Ryan?
Okay. Oh, you're handing me cellophane with a hype sticker. Okay.
Okay. What's it say?
Well, that's Alice Cooper.
What's it say?
It says Alice Cooper live. From the AstroTurf.
Yes, indeed. On Good Records. As a matter of fact, there's a record store, and we're back in Dallas again, Dallas, Texas, called Good Records. So maybe we go down to Good Records, and I'll get us some more buck pets or something while we're down there. But anyway, Alice Cooper was on tour with Motley Crue in 2015, if you recall.
Okay.
And they went through Dallas. Well, you know, Michael Bruce has a connection in Dallas.
I know what this is.
So what they did,
okay, yes.
It's an in-store. Here's the story behind this.
Uh-huh.
This guy, and let me do this. I'm going to get on my phone because I could tell a long story about this, but let me just – I got the newspaper clippings of this. And
okay.
Let me just read the Dallas newspaper clippings. Right?
That'll
be really cool. And it hadn't been done here before. By the way, this record was a gift from Alan Kesselman, a fellow crate digger, a huge music fan, vinyl freak. Alan, thank you, dude. He gave it to me at the jam last night, at the Chucky Baby Jam. Look at this package, dude. It's fucking unbelievable.
Please just hand me your record. Don't take your pants off.
It's unbelievable. So I'm going to read this article from the Dallas newspaper.
This is really cool.
Regarding
Holy
this,
shit.
Okay? So it's 2 days. One is before this was recorded, and the other is after, okay? So this one's called For Bands Inside Story, Ask Alice Cooper, okay? So now this is Chris Penn. I'll set it up. Chris Penn. Well, I'll just read it. Fuck it. Chris Penn has worn a lot of hats over the years from his Miss – shit. Anyway, here's the deal. The guy's a record store owner, right? He's talking to Michael Bruce, Dennis Dunaway, and Neil Smith, because Dennis Dunaway's on his book signing tour, like the Guillotines,
right?
Guillotine, right?
Yeah.
And so they decided that, you know, Michael has a connection to Dallas, so Michael was there, and you know, Neil came down.
You say Michael and you mean?
Michael Bruce. Mm-hmm. Michael Bruce. So the original Alice Cooper band, minus Glenn Buxton, of course. Now
– who's dead?
Yep. Who passed away, what, 79 – or 97, 79.
79?
19 – I got dyslexic. In 1997. So it just so happened that while the day of the book signing, Alice Cooper was playing with Motley Crue in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, lo and behold, this Chris Penn, the owner of the record store, Good Records, says, I'll take you guys to the show. So he takes him to the show. And everybody thought, well, maybe they'll get up on stage and play. Nothing happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they go back to the record store and do this signing, right? Well, all of a sudden, they start playing. They start jamming, right? The three of them. Well, guess who the fuck walks in?
Alice.
Alice and Ryan Roxy.
Nice.
And so live from the AstroTurf, they said it's about a postage, like probably about a 10 by 8 stage, maybe 12 by, you know, tiny yeah. little stage with orange AstroTurf. So live from the AstroTurf. So this is the original Alice Cooper band recorded in 2015.
Wow.
And it came out. Dude.
They recorded it? How was the fidelity? Is it like shit? Or?
Recorded by David Wilson and mixed by Bob Ezrin.
Mixed by Bob Ezrin?
Dude, it sounds.
What the fuck?
It sounds like Love It to Death. And here's the fucking deal, all right?
What the
dude,
fuck?
Dude, I'm so getting. So, yeah. So Alice knew they were in the audience. He heard about the book signing. He goes, you know what? We're fucking going over there. And they had gear and they had recording because they were going to record it anyway. Fucking Alice shows up on what? Right. Like peach covered, colored vinyl, right?
Yeah, pink. Yeah,
pink. Yeah, sort of a dull pink.
This
like
is
pink flamingo pink.
Really an amazing package. I wish.
Oh my God. Did you see the cards?
Yeah, I'm looking at the cards.
Now it's
and
got playing cards, and on one side is describe it, pencil sketch, right? From the old days, like you take Glenn Buxton, sort of a pencil sketch of him from way back in the day.
Yeah.
Flip it over. Well, Glenn Buxton's dead.
Oh, and you have the real.
Yeah. Well, okay, take Michael Bruce. It's on the flip side, it's him now.
Oh, boy.
Right?
Oh, he looked good.
He looks good.
Yeah.
Right? So, anyway.
That's great.
Check this out. It's really fucking cool because what's the first single Alice Cooper Group put out on Warner Brothers?
18?
It was 18, backed with Is It My Body? Right?
Oh, wow.
And guess what's on the front? This is 18, backed with
a replica of that.
The original release single came out November 1970.
45? This came out
46 years later, to the month. To the month.
This packaging is amazing.
So, dude, how fucking cool is that? So, Alan, thank you. Fuck. This is what I'm... And, dude, how great a bookend. Because remember Michael Bruce when he was living at my house? He gave me that single. Remember he gave me that 45 of the Spiders, pre-Alice Cooper Group
that's
Spiders?
That's right. We played it on
Lay Down and Die Goodbye?
We played it on the show.
Yeah. So that's what a great bookend that fucking shit makes. And that's a 45 also. So, dude, okay, here's the deal. So, I'm waffling. We could play I'm 18... And it's got this great, typical Alice Cooper, old school, like back in the day, like being the wise guy, you know?
Yeah.
And the audience yells out something. The guy in the audience yells out something, and Alice has got the perfect response, and you just go, fucking.
I kind of vote for that.
And you giggle. And Michael Bruce, I'm 18, and he plays just a horrendous solo.
Of course he does.
And at the end, you know, when they go, ba-ba-boom, ba-da-dum.
Right.
Boom,
the big
boom,
ending.
Right? Fucks it up again. So that's I'm 18. And
just
that's
like he
totally,
did on the Headbangers Ball
yes,
from 19.
And every gig I ever did with him. But then, so there's that, and it's great because that's what it is. Flip it over, and you got Is It My Body, and it's fucking great.
It's well played, well
yeah.
mixed, well
so
everything.
I would kind of rather hear the Boners. I'll leave it up to you guys. I'd kind of rather hear 18 just because of Alice's
I want to hear 18.
Yeah, it's just... And it's such a cliche song.
Because it's their big hit. They're back together.
And I would never play it from the actual record.
Right. This is the only time.
Yes.
It.
Yes. Yeah. Because it is what it is. So, God damn. Man, this is so great. I mean, let's just put it on. All right.
Ryan Roxy over here on guitar, playing for Glenn tonight. Even though we know Glenn's here somewhere. Probably smoking a cigarette in the corner or something. Whatever he's doing, it's illegal. You just say that.
Raw.
That was really cool.
It was like 1970 all over again, man. How great is that? That's Alice Cooper live from the AstroTurf. It's a 45, a gift from my friend Alan Castleman. Thank you so fucking much, dude. I this is a very precious piece of vinyl for me. I'm so excited to own it.
Yeah.
It's so fun. It's two quick little tunes, 18 on side A, and Is It My Body? But what a great little 45, man. This is fantastic. There was a little bit of friction that night, though. Just a little bit of a couple of eyebrows. There were no fisticuffs like the Davies brothers or anything like that, or the Adams brothers. But it was there was a point when Alice came in, and they played a set. They played a few songs. So look for more releases. I'll bet there'll be more songs coming out from this. And they'll probably end up putting out some singles and making an album. Mm. Fuckers. No. I'll buy them all. But so Alice quipped at one point during the show that he goes, "Ah, this is the fourth band I've played with this week," referencing obviously the Alice Cooper group, but also probably the Hollywood Vampires.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing his son or daughter's band. They each have a band here in Phoenix. And so he said that on the microphone, and Dennis Dunaway took the mic, or didn't take the mic, but took his mic and said, he goes, "Wow, you must be doing pretty well."
Ooh. You know, why doesn't Alice Cooper have that rhythm section?
That's the greatest band ever, man. That's the
greatest. Just the rhythm. I mean, we heard Michael Bruce.
Listen, Dennis Dunaway and Neil Allen Smith are the greatest, rhythm. To me, the greatest. I mean, I'm talking better in my gut. I would, if somebody said lose your Zeppelin albums or lose your Alice Cooper albums, see you later, John Bonham, see you later, John Paul Jones. I fucking mean that. Absolutely, I mean that. And I'm a fucking drummer.
Now, you said this was produced by Bob Ezrin?
That was mixed by Bob Ezrin. But,
that means Alan Schwarzberg is playing drums and Prakash John is playing bass.
Right.
Steve Hunter is actually playing the guitars.
Well, that wasn't no Steve Hunter on guitar. I tell you,
no, that was
Michael
Bruce.
Michael Bruce.
That was 100% Michael Bruce.
I've heard a lot of solos sound like that. Right in this fucking room.
Good times. Good times. See the auto episode. What's it called? Autocorrect.
Autocorrect, yes.
Autocorrect for more stories about that. All right, AD, are you ready to play another game?
Yes, I love games.
It's the time signature game time.
Ah, yay, my favorite.
Now, this one I'm going to need your help on getting the time signature. I have a guess. As per usual, we have to guess the time signature here. And we invite all the listeners to participate at home. But this record, actually, it was one of our friends, Half Ace, who joins us on the live show every once in a while, who had posted a picture on Twitter about he just found this record and picked it up and he really dug it. And I was like, oh, that's right. I love that record. I haven't heard it in a while. So thank you, Half Ace, which could be Hal Face if you think about it. But it could be Hal. Is that you, Hal?
Yeah.
Hal Face. But no, it's my record, my best record of 2015, which 2016 has a record as well, and we will reveal it on the Christmas episode coming up. But 2015's, we're going to go back and revisit the Butterscotch Cathedral.
Whoa, okay then.
Yes, we are.
That's a second spin on that.
Yeah, it is. And this is a fantastic record in it, and everybody should check these guys out. And namely, this guy, Matt Rendon, who is basically the guy that plays everything.
How are his hands?
Yeah, it's
he got normal hands.
It's a one man band. Here you go, AD. Yes. Get your hands on that one. Now, this Matt Rendon, he comes from this group called the Resoners, which fantastic group, and I'll get to them in a minute. But this record, this is his new side project, where I think he's done like six records with the Resoners, and really the Resoners is him. It's just him in his studio in Tucson.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And I guess the label that he signed to just says, yeah, do something. We'll put it out for you. Like, and the idea about this record is it wants to be like a concept album kind of thing.
Looking at side two, noticing that.
Yeah, where it really is one song is an 18-minute.
Supper's fucking ready, motherfuckers. Yeah.
Side two contains a song and then a 17-minute song called Lisa's Dream.
Right.
I'm going to play just to kind of give people another sample of this record, I'm going to play the short side two, the standalone song, which is called Loud Heavy Sun. And this is an
S-U-N. By the way.
Yes, S-U-N. Yeah, Heavy Sun. That's what the Jason Isbell's.
Yes. His dad put out a record.
The Pentecostal preacher grandfather's last album. Loud Heavy Sun. Okay. Moving on.
Sorry.
So this is an homage to the great 60s and 70s concept albums. Think The Who and think The Beach Boys. And this is just – the production is like incredibly interesting. So we've gone over this before when I announced it as my favorite record of 2015. You know, I did my research, but I was like, I want to dig deeper into what this guy's doing. And I got some quotes here from the man himself. And he says that this Butterscotch Cathedral is the name of the group. It's an experiment in which I had my friend Chris Ayers write lyrics, and then I built songs around them. It opened up some avenues for different sounds, lots of Moog, synth, as you call it, simplifier.
It's mode simplifier.
Yes, Moog simplifier. Nice. And organ and special effects. And both sides are one continuous suite, with the exception of the side two opener, Loud Heavy Sun. I suppose it's psychedelic, but it covers a lot of ground. And that's very, very true. And it's kind of all over the place. I mean, I hear a lot of Beach Boys, but...
like Pet Sounds Beach Boys or Beach Boysy Beach Boys? Wish they all good. Or
Pet Sounds Beach Boys, okay, and kind of the Who, if you hear... Because this guy's playing all the instruments, and he loves Keith Moon because he plays like Keith Moon on the drums.
Come to Papa.
And it started as a band, like Butterscotch Cathedral. Where does this come from? He worked as a truck driver for a thrift shop, and one day they picked up a kitchen cabinet door, and the display models were set next to each other, and the words Butterscotch and Cathedral were kind of side by side. And that's where he's like, yeah, that'd be a cool name for a band. And that's how that whole thing started.
Chocolate wristwatch.
Yes, exactly. That's good. Yeah. So now this is where I found this interesting.
The chocolate watch band. Sorry.
Yeah. Wristwatch. You did that before.
I did. I'm just getting old.
So this is where things get interesting. Putting it together. This is him. This is Matt talking again. Quote, putting it together was a long, drawn out process. There was a point there where I was trying to record this thing and I wanted to get a better sound. I got a hold of a 4-track reel to reel and it ended up breaking.
Gas can.
I've never been a fan of that.
I've had one. We had one here.
Yeah, it broke. I got an 8-track reel to reel and I didn't like it.
Gas can.
Then I started working with an ADAT. And that sound was far too clean. I also tried an 8-track cassette, but nothing seemed to work. I was getting more and more frustrated until finally I just said, fuck it, and went back to the original 4-track cassette, a Vestex MR44. 4-track cassette. This record is recorded on a 4-track cassette player.
You know, Pete Lauren had that little 4 or 5-song EP that he put out that sounded damn good that he recorded with his friends in Jersey.
4-track cassette?
It sounded really good. 4-track cassette, man.
That's fascinating, isn't it? If you get a good one.
Emmett Rhodes album.
Where you can,
yeah. It wasn't cassette. It was,
well, Sgt. Pepper's is 4-track.
Right, yeah, there you go, right.
But like we're talking cassette.
K-set.
K-set.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting. I don't know how he's doing this, but I've got to reach out to this guy.
A lot of noise reduction. He dude, he's in Tucson. We should have him on the show.
We should.
Get a hold of him.
Yeah, let's go down. Michael Bruce is there, too. Let's get
Is he in Tucson?
Yeah, that's the last I heard. So anyway, so this is the record of the year for me, 2015. This is the Butterscotch Cathedral. It's a self-titled record. The name of the label is Trouble in Mind, and it's nowadays labels, like it's back to where it used to be, where like this is a cool label. Like you said, Island Records earlier.
Right.
Trouble in Mind Records is cool because they got a bunch of cool bands. You just go explore what they sign. What I'll put money behind that. And it's very interesting. It's this whole sort of get away from that major label stuff and get back down into
maybe just
these kind of smaller
itself in a weird way, the industry perhaps.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a whole other conversation we
yeah,
can have.
Right.
We should do a whole show dedicated
yeah,
to
right.
it.
That's a good idea.
So, Time Signature Challenge, A.D. Adams, Loud Heavy Sun, Side 2, Track 1, if you wouldn't mind putting that orange speckled vinyl on.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, check it out. Open it. Oh, can you?
Oh, look at it. I have a bowling ball.
This is very fascinating. Yes. Butterscotch Cathedral, Loud, Heavy Sun. Great song from their self-titled one and only record, Trouble in Mind Records 2015. My pick for record of the year 2015. Soon I will reveal 2016's. Did you get it? Did you find out what that time signature was, AD?
Yes, I did. And that's, you know, that's always negotiable depending on which musician you're talking to.
I love this game.
And how you're subdividing, you know, the you know, what you feel. Like, for instance, you can call 6, 4, and 2, depending on where what we're calling like the heavy downbeat, the heavy one falls.
The heavy one.
You can go 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 1, 2, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Or you can go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 1 3, right. So, and notice the 4-2 subdivision and he's different than the six.
He is selling a one.
He's selling the one every.
That's not really a one. Okay, go ahead.
Right. I feel that it's a 6-4-6 count. And Ricky said, Ricky, you felt it 4-2, 4-4-2.
Let's unpack that for a second.
It's the same numbers.
Hold up. So you're saying the time signature would be 6-4, 4-4, and 6-4.
Yes.
Now, Ricky is saying it's going to be
4-4, then 2-4, then 4-4.
Yeah. Okay.
So 4-4. Ricky's, and it's the same thing. Ricky says 4-4, 4-4, and 2-4. 4-4, 4-4, 2-4, which is basically 4-2, 4-4-2, right?
Wow.
I say 6-4 and 4.
It's like, you know, they're both right,
but we're both right.
Do you count to 6 or do you start over?
Sure. Do you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2? That goes into a stupid drummer joke. This is in 6-4. We don't go to 4. I mean, we don't go to 6. So we right. go 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. Or 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
So the part that we're referencing is after the first vocal of that track, and if you guys want to rewind and listen again, he sings and then they go back into the opening riff. So what we've discovered, although we're kind of disagreeing still, and it's interesting – and the whole idea is that this thing is still in 4-4 time and straight time.
Absolutely. Like,
yeah.
Because that's 16.
It's 16.
6-4 and 6 is 16. So
yes.
It, mathematically speaking, but we're musicians, so we're feeling the subdivisions.
Where the one is and a subdivision of where you feel the downbeat, where the first like start
yes.
of a new measure has occurred. And he sells it in a weird place.
Yeah.
He does a 6. I'm with you, AD, where it's like a 6 beats, 6-4, and then there's a 4-4, and then it repeats the 6-4, yes?
Yes.
And Ricky feels it in a slightly different way, but I mean, it's
the same.
But you're not incorrect. But again, it depends on who you're listening to, which instrument you're listening to as well.
Yeah.
Like where a chord might start.
Yeah.
And the drummer may, you know, emphasize or de-emphasize, you know, so there's that too.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on which instrument you're locking in with.
Very, very interesting and well done. Matt Rendon from Tucson, Arizona with that great record.
Like that.
We got to meet that guy. He's so close to us.
I do believe that it was done on a 4-track. The fidelity wasn't great, but the thing is, it was something genuine. It really was genuine. Late 60s psychedelic to me.
Perfect. He's got an old spring reverb he's running shit through. I know that.
Yeah, the tones are really, really reminiscent of old, like, you know, like Fugs records. A really shitty, and I say that with love, kind of a real lo-fi sound.
Yeah.
Mid-fi, maybe.
All right. The Butterscotch Cathedral, picked that record up, along with The Resoners. Also good stuff, too. So the mystery boxes are finally empty here tonight, AD.
Yeah.
Well done, sir. Lots of new bands again.
I think the oldest we got was, 89 or something?
Yeah, that you had the oldest. In 80.
In 89. Was it? Wow, look at us.
Holy shit. Amazing.
Jeez.
Well, I mean, the Alice Cooper stuff was 1970, but who's counting?
Sure fucking was.
We thank you guys very much for tuning in and also sharing our stuff on Facebook and at Twitter. At Shabby Podcast on the Twitter thing, and also shopping through the Amazon banner. Oh yeah, we got some Christmas stuff left to do.
Oh yeah,
Amazon banner is there. Please help us keep the lights on here at Shabby by clicking on that. First, it doesn't cost you a penny.
Seriously, I spent all my money on records. I'm not going to be able to pay rent next month.
Yes.
I'm not kidding.
But the podcast may be over if you don't do it. It's the most important clicking of your lifetime.
Yeah, do it now. .com.
So let's thank Ricky Serrano for hanging out with us here tonight. Do you enjoy the music, Ricky?
I did. It was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a bit of all right.
It was a bit of all right.
And I'm looking across this den of din that's haunted by ghosts of liquor past, and I see it's Van Helsing, A.D. Adams.
Yes. Well, that's right, Ryan. And another great show, I think, in the bag, in the trash bag. But hey, even though the vinyl has stopped spinning, the room, unfortunately, has not. But with each lap around this spinning shithole called Shabby, I keep catching a glimpse of, occasionally, of my cohort, my co-host, and my pal, Ryan McKay. Thanks for another good show, Ryan. How great was that? It was
beautiful.
Fun. God damn it.
That's good stuff.
God damn it.
God damn it. Dad, burn it.
Oh, that Alabama got to me tonight.
We haven't stopped. I didn't think I was going to get through that segment once you started.
A portion of the Shabby Road Record Show is fearlessly brought to you by those crazy bastards at nameonanything.com. Use the promo code SHABBY at checkout and save 10% on your order. nameonanything.com.